Welcome back to the A-List Lowdown, guys, coming at you after a slight break. Graham had a working vacation, but we're back at it, back in the saddle. I think we're the halfway point through the Canadian election now. So like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And it's April 11th, 2025. So we're going to see. This one will mostly be me because Graham's been out of town. So he's blissfully ignorant on a few things
right now. Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing some YouTube videos and stuff. It seems like there's carnies getting in trouble every day, it seems like. And I mean, there's of course the Trump hate is up and down as well. And
well, I have mostly carny stuff that I want to get into, but before we do that, what I want to do is I want to do this. This is a little old, but I think we missed it. We didn't talk about it on the show, at least. But this one kind of fits into the governor general role as well, and people saying it's all ceremonial and blah, blah, blah. But let's jump onto this order in council, which is because let's remember, we're on like day what? 95 or something like that of no parliament. So no representation in Ottawa right now. We just have we're just running rimshot with a dictatorship or whatever we're going to call it, but seems to be a bit of a mess. And the one thing I thought for sure is you can get away with this and that. I thought there was no taxation without representation in Canada, which is why they had to roll back that one tax they wanted to do. I forget what it was. Oh, there was the capital gains one because it never got voted on in the House of Commons. So let's take a look at this. This is an order in council from April 1st. And unfortunately, it's not an April Fool's joke. So it says, whereas the president of the Treasury Board reports that there is no appropriation for the payment of the sums mentioned in the schedule amounting to the aggregate of $40,343,209,650, the appropriate ministers have resorted that the payment of these sums is urgently required for the public good.
What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm already confused.
$40 billion they need. They just need the money. They can't like do it legally, or they can't do it democratically. As undemocratic as our system is, we still are supposed to have some, at least some.
What do they need it for?
Well, let's find out. We'll get to that. And whereas Parliament is not in session and there is no other appropriation under which the payment of these sums may be made, therefore, Her Excellency, the Governor General and Council, on the recommendation of the President of the Treasury Board, under subsection 30.1 of the Financial Administration Act, directs the preparation of a special warrant to be signed by the Governor General, authorizing payment effective April 1st, 2025, for the sums mentioned in the schedule amounting to the aggregate of said above $40 billion plus to be made out of the Consolidated Revenue Fund. And we have the same thing again in French, and here's where the money's going. So the one that you're going to see stick out right away is the CBC gets $178 million. So the Canadian Broadcasting Center, $178 million. Administrative Tribunal, $17 million. Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency, $50 million. Atomic Energy of Canada, $243 million. CBSA, $338 million. Council for Arts, $45 million.
Oh, go to the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corp, $778 million. What the?
Yeah,
what
is that? I have to assume that's for defaulted mortgages.
I don't know if that is what it is. I mean,
what else would it be? Because we're
that's a lot for the.
Yeah, well, we're the insured. The taxpayer has insured all these mortgages through the CMHA or whatever it is. You know, the Canada Revenue Agency, $660 million. We'll just do the big ones, right? The CBC, 178, 242 for the Canada Institute of Health Research, 88 for the Canada Food Inspection Agency, 127 for CSIS, 104 for the Space Agency.
We have a space agency?
Do we need to worry about space right now?
NASA?
$377 million for the Correctional Services of Canada. I mean, I am sort of concerned about that. Ooh, here we go, the Indians. Crown of Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs, $6.7 billion.
Whoa, hang on. You got to go up one.
Hang on.
You got to go up another one because the Canadian Heritage one was part of one of our other clips where they fund a lot of that nefarious stuff, right? So that's $238 million for them, and 800. What was that other one? 840 for Department of Citizenship and Immigration.
Yeah, and then $6.7 billion for Indians, Department of Employment and Social Development, $1.7 billion. Department of Health, $3.3 billion. Department of Defense, $4.5 billion. Department of Public Works, $1.1 billion.
Hang on. There's another Indigenous services in there. So there's two Indigenous ones.
Ooh, another $6 billion.
Both over $6 billion. So I wonder what the difference between Department of Indigenous Services and the other one is called. Go scroll up. The Department of
Indigenous Relations.
Crown Indigenous Relations. Is that all the payback to the bands for the?
It's trying to buy some votes. Good timing to get some votes. $246 million for Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council.
Oh, hey, look, how much does the Northern Pipeline Agency get out of all this?
Northern Pipeline Agency, $25,000. Parks Canada, $142 million. Public Health, $361 million. RCMP, $917 million. I mean, some of this is probably pretty legit, you know, like the RCMP stuff, I'm assuming, is like the payroll for the police and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Kind of at that point. The point is, this should be the catalyst to reinstate the government. Now that we're in an election, all bets, you can't really do that. So it's just a total shit show. And another $1.1 billion for the Treasury Board Secretariat,
which is probably like interest or something, maybe?
Interest is not on here, but that should be in here somewhere because they're paying like $50 billion a year in interest now. So they just, you know, quickly came up with $40 billion out of the blue, if you can believe it, through an order in council, which was not voted on by your...
So that's not part of, that's not like, you're not showing the regular, the budget. You're just breaking down like what that $40 billion is for.
This is just the latest $40 billion that they just had to release.
Oh,
okay. Let's jump over to, I'm going to have to sign into that.
And so was Global Affairs Canada in there then? I don't think so. Eh?
No, that wasn't in there. No, that would be too risky right now, I assume. Okay, let's see what happens with the sound on this clip. This is going to be interesting. Let's jump over to this one. This is, of course, the big one that's going around lately.
Globe and Mail. My colleagues have a story today about a Liberal candidate's relations with China-friendly groups and a meeting that you also held with a pro-Beijing group. So my question is, why did you meet with this pro-Beijing group, Jiangsu Commerce Council of Canada? And is the party okay with the fact that Liberal candidate Peter Yan has been so close with the Chinese consulate and China-friendly groups, given the public inquiry into foreign interference, says that this is a tactic China uses to exert influence?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't believe everything you read in the Globe and Mail. So in your question, and I guess in the article in question, you said I had a meeting with
I have a quick point. Well, do you think that the women in Canada who are overwhelmingly supporting Mark Carney right now, especially the older ones, are getting sick of him just like completely belittling female reporters? I don't know because I'm not a chick, but this is the sort of stuff that women tend to pick up on that would completely miss me. But I've noticed a pattern that whenever he's a real prick, it's always a chick.
Wow. Yeah.
Whatever your term was, Beijing group. I've never heard of this group. Okay. Never heard of this group.
Okay.
Certainly didn't have a setup meeting with this group.
Okay.
Full stop. So check your sources before you write things like that. Okay. Or your colleagues do. I'm a politician. I go to events.
But he wasn't a politician.
He wasn't just a few months ago.
Are hundreds and thousands, you know, thousands over the course of a day of different people there. That is not a meeting. If somebody happens to be in the room, takes a picture with me, that's not a meeting. Okay. First point. Secondly, with respect to Mr. Yun. This is a person who has served his community for decades. This is a person who's deputy commissioner of the police. Okay, a person in discharge of those responsibilities meets with a variety of community groups in the community because that's his job. That's his responsibility. We're proud to have him as a candidate. and I honor his service, including on today. Thank you.
Okay, so that's enough of that one. Let's jump over to this.
But are you gonna? There was a pretty good deconstruction on that he's lying. Like, oh, is that where you're going?
Yeah. So this has been scrubbed from the internet. So okay. This I had to go to the Wayback Machine. I actually had to go to Web Archive. You have to get the original URL that's been scrubbed, and then if you go to the Wayback Machine, you can go. And when they delete it, it automatically makes a copy. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. So I was able to find this site and change it to English and go back to April 10th, right before they deleted it, which was, of course, yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, my God, dude.
So this is from the people that said they met with them. Let's just see what it says. I had to switch it from Chinese. A financial giant takes charge of the Maple Leaf country, and the China-Canada strategic breakthrough ushers in hope. What? Okay, so we got on March 9th, local time, Canada's political arena ushered in major changes. Mark Carney was successfully elected as a leader of the Liberal Party of Canada, indicating that in the near future, he will shoulder the heavy responsibility of the Prime Minister of Canada. Recently, Xu Zhengyong, president of the Jiangsu International Chamber of Commerce in Canada, and Jung Ru, honorary president and other Chamber of Commerce representatives, had an in-depth meeting with the soon-to-be-appointed prime minister in the face of the current trade war for the United States and the threat to Canadian sovereignty. Mark Carney believes that trade must be diversified, reducing economic dependence on the United States and actively expanding trade relations with countries such as South America, the United Kingdom, and the Asia-Pacific region. Establishing new trade routes and infrastructure and encouraging entrepreneurs to actively expand international market opportunities outside the United States. So there's a picture of Carney there. This is just talking about his resume, blah, 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 more about his resume. So in an in-depth exchange with Yong Xingzhang, president of the Jiangsu International Chamber of Commerce in Canada, and Zheng Ri, honorary president, Carney highly praised the pioneering role of the Chinese business community in emerging fields such as clean technology, digital trade, and financial.
Let's repeat the beginning of that in an in-depth.
You could remix that in-depth exchange. They had to delete this article due to pressure from the Liberal Party specifically. So this is what happens when the media pays for your news. So here's a picture of them in front of the Canadian flag. This one you could maybe say that they were just in line for, but this one starts to get weird, you know, when you got the whole group there. You don't ask, like, who's this group of Chinese people I'm meeting with? You might want to just check. So at a time when the global landscape is undergoing profound adjustments, Carney's appointment is seen as an important turning point in the upgrading of China-Canada relations. The Jiangsu International Chamber of Commerce in Canada is looking forward to the leadership of this leader with both international reputation and local sentiment. So, and of course, the reason this was on the Globe and Mail was because behind a paywall, I might add. So the first article was behind a paywall. Now, yesterday, they took the article out from behind the paywall. So now let's jump over to this quick. This is from Northern Perspectives because I didn't want to, I couldn't find it myself. So we'll just say thanks to them. And I heard it from them anyway, so we'll give them credit. Give them a follow, Northern Perspectives on YouTube.
It's not up yet.
What?
It's not playing yet.
But I said share this tab instead. God.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And this is our Google experiment, too.
This is the Google experiment.
Okay, so, there we go.
Let's try this again.
Take a look. Today on the campaign trail, Liberal leader Mark Carney faced some scrutiny over photos taken of him with members of the leadership of a pro-Beijing lobby group. This is a photo that was posted to the Jiangsu Commerce Council of Canada's website. That is Mark Carney with the president of that organization. There were several others posted from the same event. Now, the Globe and Mail first reported about these photos this morning, and later at his press conference today, Mark Carney was asked about them. Here was his response.
You can't believe everything you read in the Globe.
Robert Fife. Oddly enough, he is the Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Globe and Mail. He happens to be here along with Mia Rabson, the Deputy Parliamentary Bureau Chief of the Canadian Press, and Joël Denis Bellevance, the Parliamentary Bureau Chief for La Presse. Okay, Bob, I do want to talk to you about the story you wrote with Stephen Chase. You saw the Carney comments there. Before we get to that, I do want to show a statement from the Liberal Party about the photos. This is what they put out. It repeats a lot of what Mr. Carney said, that he attends multiple events where he meets and is photographed with hundreds or thousands of people over the course of the day. That's the case here, too, as no specific meeting with that organization has ever been organized or taken.
Wow.
The web post from the Globe and Mail is inaccurate. So is the suggestion that Mr. Carney had any such in-depth discussion. We have reached out to the organization correcting the record and asked that they remove such claims.
Wow, just a double down.
Okay, so
a double down. Yeah, double down. So let's go back because I'm going to cut out them and just I just want to get the news clip here. But I mean, the interesting thing that is, this is on the CBC, right? The national broadcaster.
What Carney said today in the statement from the party.
Well, first of all, we never said that there was a meeting. We said that this organization met him, and according to their website, they had an in-depth discussion. Mm-hmm. That's the story. And which, by the way, that wasn't the focus of the story. The focus of the story is on the Liberal candidate in the riding that was replaced by another Liberal.
Etobicoke North.
Union Market.
Markham.
Union.
Yeah, sorry. My apologies.
And this man named Peter Yen is a former deputy police chief. We checked him out, and he is being connected to Beijing-friendly organizations, including this organization mm-hmm. who met with Mr. Carney. And repeat the lines of the Chinese Communist Party. The other groups that Mr. Yen met with were the Chinese Freemasons, which talks about annexation of Taiwan. He's been celebrated and had many meetings with the Chinese consulate, which we now know from the public inquiry into foreign interference that the Chinese consulate is the key organizing body for all of these proxy groups that yeah. try to influence politicians. So that was the point of our story. But here's the thing I want to talk about, and I'm glad Mr. Carney raised this,
yep.
because here's the reason why. This same group, if you go to the website, after they met him, they wrote a laudatory thing about how great Mark Carney is, how great he is and going to improve Chinese-Canadian relations. So what did we find out on Monday? The site committee, which looks into federal election interference, said that WeChat and China has been trying to mold public opinion involving Mr. Carney. What are they molding? Nice things about him, what a tough guy he is, how he can take on the Americans. So I guess the point here is, has anybody learned anything from the foreign interference inquiry or not?
Can I ask you about that?
Sure.
Because I've been hearing little bits and pieces of that, and I wanted to ask you, like, what, I don't know if I really think it's such a big deal, this accusation about the WeChat, how they said good and bad things about Carney, but in the end, they're supporting Carney, and this is foreign interference. And then I'm like, what, can I just ask you seriously, what is the difference between that, what's happening there, and the CBC and our Canadian media that's funded by the government, like railing against Trump and being all anti-Trump and orange man bad? Like, is that okay? But they can't do it from against Canada or for their political thing? Like, I mean, why is one considered interference and one not?
Well, probably because that we know that there's at least a dozen representatives that are wittingly or unwittingly under the influence of the Chinese Communist Party right now. And then we also have the fact that they've lent Brookfield, Carney's Brookfield, like 6 months ago, $500 million, a third of $1 billion to rent out to refinance a building that has a 25% vacancy rate. So you have these sort of weird things like that it starts to seem greasy. And I mean, I think that's the real difference, is that media is one thing, but in China, the WeChat thing is probably less of a scandal than some of the other stuff.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like last time when it was,
I think it is. It's just more and more and more and more and more. And that the basis of this is the fact that the dude that they've put in that, in to replace the last guy seems to be more, influenced by China than the last guy.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I get that part. I get that part of it. It's just, I guess the other thing was like something went viral. Now, who knows if that's, you know, algo-based or manipulated, but it went viral against Chrystia Freeland, and they were bitching about that. And it's like, well, just because you say something stupid and it goes viral internationally doesn't mean it's interference. It means, you know, it's social media.
I mean, it's starting to seem more and more like we are completely in bed with China, though, right? I mean, did you see the only two countries that have retaliated are us and China? And now they used to be able to say that the EU was considering retaliation, but then they folded this morning.
Right.
So it's us and China. I mean, it seems like China's running the place, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they've been embedded for quite a while, I would say, since the 90s with the Vancouver housing bubble and all that stuff.
But. So here's a quick rundown from Orchid Nut on X, where he's got, so here's the one. Whereas Chinese news releases glowing endorsement of Mark Carney, it's described as being headquartered in Toronto with a Chinese-Canadian audience of 800,000. There's only one real issue. Its IP address shows the account is being run from Shandong, China. Here we have this. So Mark Carney took a $250 million loan from China, source Western Standard, March 25th, 2025. He called for China to dominate the world economy. Source TVO Today, March 23rd, 2021. He let his MP make threats on China's behalf, which we kind of done here. Might have been a bit of a joke. He replaced that MP with an openly pro-China candidate, and he is China actively promoting his campaign.
And I'm sure that's just a summary, and the top bullets. There's probably a whole bunch more. I mean, I'm sure he's done a lot of business in China, and I mean, even Trudeau was saying, you know, he appreciated China's totalitarian ability.
So here's the, because they say that United Front is all a front for the Chinese Communist Party. It's like a foreign influence department. So here's Mark Carney at his Richmond event hosted. This is from January by Trudeau Liberal MP Parm Bains. He is posing with Bin Dik Phu of the Canadian Community Service Association, one of BC's main United Front groups. And then the last one, China allegedly interfering in liberal leadership race. Beijing is targeting Chris. This is one you were talking about. This is from February 7th. Beijing is targeting Chrystia Freeland. But guess who is in China cozying up to Xi Jinping 10 months ago? Mark Carney. There's Carney and Xi. And Putin. Is that Putin? Man, Carney might be in with Russia. What do we do about that?
Well, I mean, this is why it's so important that the liberals win, because it's for the global liberal alliance in a way, like, because it seems like Trump is the only bulwark against that. And I, you know, how Russia and China fit into that, I don't know, but it seems to me like it's more of an EU, UK kind of, you know, that whole liberal rules-based order. Bullcrap.
Here's some more where Carney says he has no idea why Beijing's information operation praised him. Liberal leader Mark Carney said he doesn't know why an information operation linked to Beijing by security authorities would have sought to cast him in a positive light. I have absolutely no idea, Carney said when taking questions from reporters on the matter. I have absolutely no idea, and I think I'll leave it at that. The site task force assesses that the foreign state-backed information operation was intended to influence Canadian-Chinese communities and look to mold perceptions about the candidate, Carney. Site officials said the campaign on Carney had amplified his stance towards the United States and targeted his experience and credentials. Because of a series of modern reforms to the traditional Bank of England, the British media called him a rock star economist. One of the Yulan Yumain articles says, in reference to Carney heading to the Bank of England from 2013 to 2020. We monitored over the period of time specified, and we saw positive and negative narratives. That's what you were talking about. But it felt important that there was transparency, and that the transparency will continue. He said, I think it's been a welcome development for Canadians, but also a warning to foreign actors that we are on top of these things. Chong, who is a conservative foreign affairs critic, said that the latest revelations from Site show that Beijing is engaging in a sophisticated campaign and to interfere in Canada's election with the aim of re-electing Mark Carney and the Liberals for a fourth term. So anyway, I think I'll leave it at that for the election stuff, but I do have a few more. Let's see if this works, if I can jump over to this. I do have a few more Brookfield clips that are worth sharing.
While Carney was pretending to work on making the world a more sustainable place as vice chair of environmental social governance at Brookfield, the reality was very different. Under Carney's environmental leadership, Brookfield trampled on First Nations rights and fought them in court. Nothing could be more clear than what Mississauga First Nation has had to deal with. Privatization, backdoor deregulation, fighting for their rights. When Ontario privatized and deregulated the dams in their territory, Mark Carney's company, Brookfield, took them over. It's been a battle ever since for the First Nation to have... their rights respected. It got to the point where the First Nation had to go to court to assert their Indigenous rights. So what was the response of Mark Carney and his company? To fight them in court. Turns out Carney's definition of investing in green energy includes violating Indigenous water rights and steamrolling First Nations. This is a company funding initiatives impacting the traditional lands of Indigenous peoples and the environment. Mark Carney and the Liberals, when they see our region, they see resources, they see land, but they don't see the people. Mark Carney isn't in it for Northern and Indigenous peoples.
Wow, that was a hit job from NDP. Interesting.
Yeah, and then here's another one. I got one more here, and then that'll sort of finish this sort of Carney.
Well, I could finish it off too with an old one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mark Carney, now Prime Minister and former chair of Brookfield Asset Management, is facing renewed scrutiny after reports revealed the firm's involvement in alleged Indigenous rights violations in Canada, Brazil, Colombia, and the U.S. Accusations range from environmental destruction to treaty breaches and forced evictions. In Canada, the Mississauga First Nation filed a $100 million lawsuit over hydro dams. Despite the severity of these allegations, Carney has largely avoided media and political backlash. Meanwhile, public figures like Aaron Gunn face intense condemnation simply for disputing residential school narratives, raising questions about selective outrage, political consistency, and the suppression of uncomfortable truths.
I don't think he's, honestly, dude, I almost think what you said is correct. Like, I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think he's going to be able to withstand the scrutiny in some ways, you know. Like, this is one that I saved that's from 11 days ago, but it kind of gives you an idea of, it's anecdotal, it seems here, but best Carney takedown ever from the Brits, of course. So remember you mentioned just recently that the Brits media is all fond about him. Well, I mean, they're this as bad as the Canadian media, right? But this guy met with him in the cafeteria, one of the banks, and he says, Carney sat down with him. He says, we pretty much talked nonstop for a half hour. After Carney left, the economist said, "You've just had more of the governor's attention than any bank employee. And he never once interrupted to tell you you're an idiot." So, I mean, this seems to be well known that he just doesn't really listen to employees and tells them they're idiots, right? I mean, that's not gonna, that kind of, like, you know, behavior is not probably going to go over very well. I mean, I think you got to be a little bit better than that. You know, pretend. Based on this and other reports, a personality type is emerging and it's not a good one. Grumpy, irritable, and apparently quick to criticize. So this is from the Spiked piece. So this is a Spiked Online rebuke of our new PM, right? He says, you know, the new Canadian's PM CV reads like a parody of an archetypal Davos man. Carney is living, breathing proof that expert credentials are no substitute for sound judgment or political acumen. He has embraced just about every naff and dangerous political trend of our times, never deviating from the Davos script. I'm just reading the bold here. More recently, his endorsement of Labour's Rachel Reeves as Chancellor ahead of the UK general election also smacked of both dubious judgment and needless political interference. After nearly a decade of the woke, woeful Justin Trudeau, Canada deserves a break from the pseudo-progressive globalism that keeps on failing and irritating voters. Mark Carney is the last man they need to be PM. I mean, maybe it's like what you said. Maybe this is what we do need. Maybe we do need him so that people really get a proper taste in their mouth of what's been happening, you know?
Yeah, I might fall apart before him before that. I mean, the debates with him not being able to keep his cool, the debates could get interesting. I mean, if the guy has a temper tantrum, then it's just not good luck.
When is the debate?
I think it's in like a week.
Oh, okay. It's in a week. I thought it was today for some reason. So he's taking a break before, and then he's taking a 3-day break. I mean,
he's on break right now.
You think Trump or Pierre would take a 3-day break in the middle of like the last few weeks of a campaign? I mean, oh my God, dude. But I mean, he's probably got to work a lot harder than he did in his corporate money laundering gigs.
Yeah. Well, I got to assume that, that he's just, like, I don't know if it's that he's burnt out. They're just like, they're pulling him. They got to be pulling him because they're like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know, you're a fucking liability to yourself.
Got to get some training on what to say and what not to say. I mean, some of it appears honest. It appears like, to me, some of it's too honest in a way. And some of it's he's just lying too obviously. It's a very strange conundrum, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, like I say, I don't think they're expecting to get caught on this. And then the alt media is so through the roof on it that they don't. Shit, I copied it.
Well, did you hear him talk about X and the social medias in Canada? Like, I think if he gets in, there's going to be some massive censorship. I mean, I think this is one of the big things is X is magnifying some of these things that people are finding in the clips, and it's getting to a lot of people, right? So I really do think
either. I mean, my most viral thing I've ever posted was on Instagram.
Well, that's interesting as well, right? How is that possible?
And not only that, it couldn't even have snuck through because you've got the clip of Carney, the one we played. No, it's not this one. I mean, damn it, I should almost have it ready to play that one because that one's good in its own right.
But I mean, I can go to your Instagram and play it if you want.
And that got over 10,000 views on Facebook and counting already too. Nothing gets that. Nothing even close to that. You know,
well, especially because you've been throttled.
Yeah, well, I guess not with that. And you can't even misplace it because I've put all the budgetary breakdowns and the whole thing on the deficits and everything else.
Okay, well, let's do this here. This is just the clip itself.
Okay, so the short answer is no. My government will not cut foreign aid, and we will be releasing our platform soon, so you can see that. That is a direct contrast to Mr. Poilievre, who will not just cut foreign aid, but taking his cue from the Americans, he will eliminate foreign aid. He will eliminate foreign aid to those most affected around the world, most punished around the world. He'll eliminate foreign aid by extension to the Middle East, to Ukraine as well. And he will use the money for other purposes, presumably for tax cuts, which is normally what he does when he cuts programs.
Sir Carney, would you cut foreign aid from the current ODA and financing
What?
I was just repeating.
Yeah, I missed the front, so that's what I was trying to.
Oh, so yeah, 100,000 views and counting. So, I mean, something is letting that go viral.
Yeah, and your account, which must have been throttled. So that's why it's very strange right now. So yeah, that is interesting. I mean, Facebook, maybe Meta really has opened up their censorship a little bit.
So just to get into the caption. So while he's talking about not cutting foreign aid in fiscal year 2023-24, Canada's budget deficit was $61.9 billion, a significant increase from the $35.3 billion deficit in 22-23. The federal deficit is projected to be $48.3 billion in 24-25 and $42.2 billion in 25-26. Canada is projected to spend $54.1 billion to service that debt, which works out to $1,920 per taxpayer per year. And your share of the principal, if you're a Canadian taxpayer, is just north of $29,000. So it's got almost 1,000 comments on it. And if we just take a look at the comments, they basically are all excellent, vote conservative. That's all I need to know. Voting for Pierre. Even the liberals are promoting the conservatives. Good for Pierre. Best Pierre ad I've seen so far. With this many people struggling in Canada, putting money shipping overseas into our own citizens' pocket sounds pretty good. Vote conservative. Pierre gets my vote just based on this. So it's weird, right? I mean, what a thing. Okay, I have another clip here, which is talking about that tariff thing. This is our buddy Sam Cooper in Juneau News. That Buddy's dad is going to be my MP.
We see that Mark Carney has a history and a career of wanting to promote China, wanting to work with China. You mentioned that he took that state loan from the state government bank in China for $250 million back when he was also advising Justin Trudeau. Well, here's something interesting. This is a graphic from Fox News. It was posted on X by Kirk Lubomov. And he writes this. He says, here is how countries have been responding to Donald Trump's tariffs. And then he writes, oh, Canada and the company we keep. So here is the breakdown. Trump's tariff response, the countries that are trying to negotiate with the Americans. And you can see the flags of those countries. So we have, Japan, South Korea, the UK, Switzerland, Malaysia, Singapore, Brazil, Colombia, Turkey, and Australia, countries that have offered concessions, India, Israel, and a handful of others. And then the countries that have retaliated, there are only two. We are in a league unto ourselves along with the Chinese. Canada and China are the two countries that are actually wanting to go to war against the Americans, countries that want may possibly retaliate, haven't decided yet. That would be the European Union.
The EU has decided not to retaliate and wants to negotiate as of the recording.
European Union, pardon me. And then the country that is having no retaliation whatsoever is Mexico. So when you look at Mark Carney praising China, and then when you look at his leadership and what Canada is doing, it looks like we are aligning ourselves away from the United States and along with China. I'm sorry, China is not the company that we should be keeping on the international stage. No wonder China is promoting the Liberal government and Mark Carney, because they see Canada as an easy mark, an ally in their war, in their Cold War against the United States. It's unbelievable that this is where we are as a country under the Liberal leadership.
I mean, it really does. I do like how Trump and Lednick put out that like really fast, right? Like, okay, here's our tariff thing. And although it was based on deficit and not the actual like specific tariff percentages, it really showed how much deficit everybody has, right? With the US, right? The US is just the massive consumer. They have to buy everything from all over the world, and they can't sell everything all over the world because people don't allow people to buy from them. Sometimes it's not even about tariffs. You're just not allowed to buy American stuff.
Not to mention they're also running security for all of that trade at the same time through the Bretton Woods Agreement, which is falling apart. But right now they're also, you know, there's that extreme NATO expense, which is right now the Navy's job is making sure that pirates don't steal your shit, or Iranians.
Right.
And who had to go kill the Houthis.
Yeah. So that's the thing where you said China and Canada are the only ones that are retaliating, which is super crazy too. Like, how Canada is even caught up in this? I guess it's maybe because it's an election. I mean, maybe it wouldn't have happened the same way if we weren't going through an election. But it's pretty sad, and it's good that people are going to start negotiating. Maybe this is like going to snap a bunch of Western countries back into shape too, taking care of their own shit, you know.
Okay, let's jump over to the Bureau for this one. I got two more pieces, and then we'll get out of here. Diaspora? How do you say that?
Diaspora.
Diaspora researchers link China's intelligence. Now someone on YouTube's going to make fun of me for being an idiot. An elite influencer to BC government, Liberal Party, and Trudeau-appointed senator. So there's a crazy infographic here that's a bit much to get into, but it is worth checking out. We'll just read the article instead. A powerful new investigative map released by diaspora researchers traces political ties reaching from the Chinese Communist Party-controlled intelligence networks to the highest levels of British Columbia's government. The visual exposé centers on Senator Wan Pa Wu and his pivotal role in welcoming Chinese state-linked entities into Canadian institutions, an effort that resonates in a secretly recording 2020 meeting obtained by the Bureau, in which Wu assured United Front figures would help shield them from United Front comes up again, right? From critical scrutiny. These same United Front entities have been credited by Beijing for their role in promoting Chinese Canadian candidates during the federal campaign elections. Elections campaign.
Having said that, I'm very worried that the mainstream in Canada, including a lot of my friends and political leaders and business leaders and media leaders, are falling into a very dangerous trap where they are using what I call a litmus test to
Sorry about the audio. It's a recorded phone call. This is a
secret. No, it's pretty good.
Okay. The S's are popping.
demonstrate the loyalty of Chinese Canadians in this country. The litmus test, I don't know how you translate that in Chinese, but essentially you use a piece of paper, you put it in the water, 红色就不行, 蓝色就行. And in life, it's never so easy. 不是红色是蓝色,有很多颜色,对吧? But I worry that more and more in this country and around the West, the media and others are trying to identify these litmus tests and say, okay, 你是好的,你是坏的. So a very good example, all of you know, was the reporting around the, you know, donation of medical supplies among some Chinese Canadians who were shipping some medical supplies to China during the early part of the crisis. And then in reverse, many Chinese Canadians who were helping to source medical supplies from China for Canada. It's very easy for people to use the fact that we are doing this as a test, as proof of whether you're a loyal Canadian or not. This is a very dangerous way of putting people in boxes. And there are many other litmus tests that we can identify. For example, your views on Hong Kong, your views on Tibet, your views on Uyghurs, your views on South China Sea, whether you belong to an organization that is officially part of the Tongyi-Zanxian, the United Front. You know, many organizations are listed as part of a United Front list of organizations. And the fact that you are simply associated with one is often used as a litmus test. And this is not a good development that I'm seeing.
Wu was appointed to the Senate by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in 2016 with an official announcement citing his work with the same entities now identified by diaspora researchers as Chinese-influenced trade lobbies. The map, titled From Ottawa to Victoria, is part of the ongoing Dotting the Map series from Canadian Friends of Hong Kong and found in translation to diaspora-led civil society groups. Built from open source records, the map draws direct lines between the United Front-aligned businesses, political and media organizations, and prominent Canadian leaders, including Senator Wu, former BC Liberal Premier Christy Clark, ex-minister Theresa Watt, Premier David Eby's advisor Ding Guo, and Rise Media journalists. The researchers caution that no individual named in the report is alleged to be knowingly involved in Chinese influence activities. Rather, the mapping effort is designed to educate voters by highlighting verified affiliations to Chinese state or military-linked organizations. Rise Media, as reported by the Bureau, played a key role in supporting Mark Carney's current Liberal candidate, Parm Baines, in the 2021 contest, in which Baines upset Conservative incumbent Kenny Chow. That Richmond riding is one of the top three examples of Chinese election interference overturning Conservative candidates, according to the former Conservative leader, Aaron O'Toole. At the center of the new Dotting the Map diagram is Senator Wu, shown helping open pathways for China Poly Group, a state conglomerate tied to the People's Liberation Army, and Polyculture, its cultural diplomacy arm. The map shows that under Liberal Christy Clark government, with Wu's active involvement, British Columbia approved multi-million dollar partnerships with numerous shadowy Chinese entities via HQ Vancouver, a Canadian public-private entity created to draw foreign investment into Canada. Wu's name is also linked through the board roles and event partnership to the Asia Pacific Foundation of Canada and various CCP-aligned think tanks, including those tied through joint programming to the International Liaison Department, the CCP Foreign Intelligence Arm. According to the map, Wu organized a 2010 event in Canada with the Henry Huayo Wang, founder of the Center for China and Globalization, a think tank under the ILD that directly advises the Chinese State Council. Wang and Wu co-wrote articles and maintained overt links through the Asia Pacific Foundation during Wu's tenure as president and CEO. According to political scientist Anne-Marie Brady, the ILD is tasked with gathering intelligence on foreign politicians and political parties and developing asset relations with them. In Justin Trudeau's October 2016 appointment notice, Wu is credited for works including as president and CEO of the Asia Pacific, this is a quote from Justin Trudeau, As president and CEO of the Asia Pacific Foundation of Canada from 2005 to 2014, he led a major expansion of the organization and spearheaded the National Conversation on Asia, a three-year cross-Canada campaign to highlight the growing importance of Asia in the world and for Canada. Currently, he serves as president of HQ Vancouver, a public-private partnership established to promote British Columbia as a head office location for global firms. According to the map, Theresa Watt, while serving as minister in Christy Clark's Liberal government, extended Belt and Road cooperation to British Columbia, joined Huawei and a local telecom firm in 5G research initiatives, participated in multiple PRC-affiliated delegations, and came from a background in Chinese state-linked media. She is also listed as having facilitated the involvement of Chinese real estate tycoons in provincial-level discussions on infrastructure and housing. The map identifies Ding Guo, founder of the Canada Committee 100 Society, CCS 100, as a critical node. Guo is shown as journalist from Shanghai, transitioned into a leadership role in BC Chinese language media and political mobilization. As previously reported by the Bureau in December 2021, then Attorney General David Eby approved a $20,000 provincial grant to CCS 100, citing its anti-racism and Chinese diaspora engagement goals. The grant was awarded while Guo served as a Chinese community advisor to Eby. A February 2021 report from a Chinese Communist Party organ cited CCS 100 among several Canadian groups praised for voter education, mobilization, and fundraising efforts during the 2019 election cycle. Premier David Eby also awarded Ding Guo the King Charles III Coronation Medal, the researchers found. Kenny Zhang, also named in the map, is shown occupying a dual role as a former executive director of HQ Vancouver and head researcher of Ding Guo's CCS 100. He was affiliated with Rise Media, which promoted Liberal candidate Parm Bains over MP Kenny Chow during the 2021 federal election. And Zhang was also awarded the King Charles III Coronation Medal by Senator Juan Paul Wu. The Bureau's publication of the Wu tape forms as part of the evidentiary spine of the researcher's latest map. All three, Guo, Zhang, and Wu, were present in this groundbreaking piece of evidence.
I don't like how the $20,000 is that really. I mean, I think we talked about this a while back, where it's like $20,000. That doesn't seem like a big deal, but I mean, what a mess, right? I mean, how do we tell the difference between, you know, political interference and just industry development? You know, like how do we take foreign investments or foreign, you know, like to me, it seems like it's becoming a big global mess.
We need to take the foreigners out of governing other countries completely. This is the major part of the problem, you know?
I would agree with that totally. But
meanwhile, as previously reported by the Bureau, a report that praised Premier David Eby's advisor Ding Guo for helping mobilize Chinese Canadian voters. I mean, that's part of the problem, right? This job is to mobilize Chinese voters. He's going to mobilize them towards whatever the fucking Chinese Communist Party wants.
So I guess that's pretty
specific. And it's no coincidence that we're turning communist.
I know. You know.
And we're backing China instead of the US right now. So it noted that Trudeau Jr. personally went to seek votes at a Chinese supermarket in Markham. The report published by ACFROC, a United Front-linked organization, also emphasized the key role of WeChat in rallying voters. It said 41 federal election candidates seen as of special interest to Beijing were nominated by different parties in the 2019 race, an increase from only 27 and 23 in 2015 and 2011. Charles Burton, a respected China expert and Mandarin language analyst, reviewed the report for the Bureau. He said the document identifies 41 distinguished Chinese candidates nominated in 2019. So I judge the use of distinguished implies identification of candidates potentially useful to the United Front's aims. That was a long one, Sam. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, though. It's just...
Let's finish it off with the Bureau as well. This is from yesterday. Canadian police raid sophisticated Vancouver fentanyl labs, but insist millions of pills not destined for U.S. Mounties say labs outfitted with high-grade chemistry equipment and trained chemists reveal transnational crime groups are advancing in technical sophistication and drug production capacity. Wow. Amid a growing trade war between Washington and Beijing and Canada targeted alongside Mexico and China for special tariffs related to Chinese fentanyl supply chains, has dismantled a sophisticated network of fentanyl labs across British Columbia and arrested an academic lab chemist, the RCMP said Thursday. At a press conference in Vancouver, senior investigators stood behind seized lab equipment and fentanyl supplies, telling reporters the operation had prevented millions of potentially lethal pills from reaching the streets. This interdiction has prevented several million potentially lethal doses of fentanyl from being produced and distributed across Canada, said Corporal Arash Saeed. But the presence of commercial-grade laboratory equipment at each of the sites, paired with the arrest of suspects believed to have formal training in chemistry, signals an evolution in Canada's fentanyl production crisis, with progressively enhanced scientific and technical expertise among transnational organized crime groups involved in the production and distribution of illicit drugs, Saeed added. This investigation is ongoing while the seized drugs, precursor chemicals, and other evidence continue to be processed. Recent Canadian data confirms the country has become an exporter of fentanyl, and experts identify British Columbia as the epicenter of clandestine labs supplied by Chinese precursors and linked to Mexican cartel distributors upstream. In a statement that appears politically responsive to the evolving Trump trade threats, Assistant Commissioner David Tobol said there continues to be no evidence, in this case and others, that these labs are producing fentanyl for exportation into the United States. In late March, during coordinated raids across the suburban municipalities of Pitt Meadows, Mission, Alder Grove, Langley, and Richmond, investigators took down three clandestine fentanyl production sites. I mean, if it's 100 million pills, where are they going?
I mean, I was just going to ask you that, as if that's just going to stay in Canada.
What do we have? Like a couple hundred thousand fentanyl users? It's not a million, you know, it's well under a million. The labs were described by the RCMP as equipped with specialized chemical processing equipment found in academic and professional research facilities. Photos released by authorities show stainless steel reaction vessels, industrial filters, and what appear to be commercial scale tablet presses and drying trays, pointing to mass production capabilities. The takedown comes as Canada finds itself in the crosshairs of intensifying geopolitical tension. Fentanyl remains the leading cause of drug-related deaths in Canada, with toxic supply chains increasingly linked to hybrid transnational networks involving Chinese chemical brokers and domestic Canadian producers. RCMP said the sprawling BC lab probe was launched in the summer of 2023, with teams initiating an investigation into the importation of unregulated chemicals and commercial laboratory equipment that could be used for synthesizing illicit drugs, including fentanyl, MDMA, and GHB.
Did it say when that lab was busted or when that
article? Like 2 days ago. The article's from yesterday. Yeah, like when I said they said Thursday, that meant that they said yesterday.
So, you know, the other thing is I'm searching for mainstream mainstream articles about that. Nothing, right? Crickets. Like especially with an election going on, right? As if they would want to bring up that, right? But I mean, interesting how you think that would be like, you know, a good thing to highlight. Hey, we're doing our job at cracking down on these bad drugs. People are dying everywhere, but nothing.
Then you would have to admit that you have the drugs.
I know, it's crazy. That was a good one.
That seems to be where the problem comes in. So we hope you guys enjoyed the show. Of course, head over to alist.ca if you want to support us. We're just going to, you know, we want to keep doing this. We can't do ads. We can't do anything like that. We're lucky to even be allowed on with this stuff in the laws in Canada these days. So if you want to support us, head over to alist.ca. And if you want to see what else we're up to, head over to grimerica.ca. There's links there for everything. We got audiobooks. We got trips. We got CBD. We got all sorts of fantastic stuff. Mostly, if you're Canadian and you like this content, give us a like, a share, a subscribe, whatever you're watching on. Tell your friends and head to the alist.ca to support us. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Who's going to kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points north, oh true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow.